Would you pray with me, please? Father, we acknowledge that you are here among us and that you're a good God and that your desire is to bless your people. And we pray that your word that goes out will not return void, but it will accomplish all that you purpose. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You want to know what a person is like, you would listen into their prayers. And I mean, if you want to know what their character really is, you would sneak up behind them and you would just listen to how it is that they pray and how they frame their prayer and how they talk to God and how they relate their concerns and how often they pray and the scope of their prayers. And so if you wanted to know what a person's like, you would listen to their prayers. In 1983, Billy Graham had a crusade in Sacramento, California. And before the crusade starts, the choirs of all the cities get together and they have a practice. And the night before Billy Graham was to preach, they all got together and they practiced. Practice went a long time, so it was late at night. And one of the men in the choir on the way home was driving home and passed the City Hall of Sacramento, California, and he saw a man hunched over the steps of the City Hall. And he was feeling kind of spiritual and kind of up and ready for Billy Graham to come and show up and do his thing. And so he felt like he needed to do something for that man on the steps of City Hall. And he got out of his car, went up to the man, was about to put his hand on his shoulder, and Billy Graham raised his head. Because Billy Graham was there, because he knew he needed to be there. And he knew he needed to be praying at that hour for the people of the city of Sacramento, California. If you want to know what a person's really like, you would listen into his prayers. And so today's epistle from the first chapter of Ephesians is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. We have another similar prayer for the Philippians and another for the Colossians. But Paul, several times in his epistles, gives us insight into what his prayer life is really like. And he shows us how it is that he prays and what he prays for and how it is that he goes about doing that. And so today's epistle is his prayer. It's almost like God is saying to us, I want you to listen to Paul's prayer and I want you to learn from him how it is that we could be praying. There are many things that he could have prayed for the Colossians and Philippians and Ephesians in this gospel. Many things that he might have prayed for, things of that were problems in the congregation. He could have prayed for those. He could have prayed for challenges that various members of that congregation were experiencing. He could have prayed for the dangers that they were experiencing as a congregation back in the first century Palestine. He could have prayed for all of those things, very specific things, very specific needs in the congregation. But his prayer wasn't like that at all. Paul doesn't pray for the circumstances that they were facing. Paul's prayer is bigger than that. He prays for big things. He prays for the perspective of the people to have a bigger view. So that when they reach those specific circumstances of their lives, that they would have the perspective that they need in order to navigate through those circumstances. So Paul's prayer is a big prayer. And his prayer for the Ephesians specifically is that they will have eyes to see, that God would open the eyes of their hearts so that they may know the hope to which they're called, and the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints, and the incomparable great power for those who believe. So Paul prays that they would have eyes to see. But I want you to see how he says that he keeps on praying this prayer. It's not a one-time prayer for the circumstances that face us today, but this is a prayer that he prayed over and over and over again. He says, I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ that he may open their eyes. You see how this is a big prayer. You see how to pray this prayer and to have that prayer answered would give us the perspective that we need in order to navigate the particular circumstances that we face today. And so he gives us an example, and he says, I pray that the eyes of your hearts would be enlightened. And the question obviously is, to what, Paul? What do you want us to see that we're not seeing? And the answer is given in the first chapter of Ephesians, in chapter 1, verse 3. He says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. Do you know the end of it? With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We've been blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And I don't really want to be sarcastic about this by asking the question, but what does he mean by every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places? Could it possibly mean every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places? Like when Jesus was on the cross and he says, it is finished, could he mean that this whole plan of salvation and redemption and sanctification and glorification is completed? It's now a done deal because of what Jesus has done for us once and for all. And if that's the case, that we have in the past tense, because of what Jesus did on the cross, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, if that's possible, then his prayer is, Lord, open their eyes to see what you've done for them, to see how much you've loved them, to see how full and accomplished is your salvation for them. Here's the situation as I understand it in Ephesus. I think he's addressing a very particular situation for them and maybe for us. The situation is that they have been blessed incredibly abundantly. Paul goes on in this epistle to describe what it is that they have because of what Jesus did for them. He says they have the gift of new life. It's already theirs because of what Jesus did for them. They have the gift of the Holy Spirit. They have the gift of the forgiveness of sins. They've been predestined and adopted into God's family. It's theirs already because of what Jesus has done for them. And he goes on to say, now that you have this, you have the Holy Spirit abiding in you. So all of it is theirs. It's completed, and it's past tense, and it's all theirs. And so Paul prays, Lord, open their eyes to see. Here's the situation. They have it all, but they don't know it. They have it all because of what Jesus has done for them on the cross 2,000 years ago, but they don't know it yet. It's as if they're walking around in their daily lives with this wonderful treasure, this amazing gift, and they haven't even begun to open it. And so Paul prays for them, Lord, would you please open the eyes of their hearts that they may know the hope and the incredible riches and the incredible great power for those who believe. The situation in Ephesus is not unlike the situation for many of us. I know that many of you know that how blessed you are, and you live in the light of that. But many others of us me included, don't know that yet. And we need this prayer in order for God to open our eyes to see just how wonderfully blessed we are in Christ because of what he's done for us. John Claypool used to talk about the man on an ox looking for an ox. That's me. And that's some of us. There it is. We're setting off across the countryside in search of an ox, and we're sitting on an ox while we do it. We've been blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing because of Jesus, and we don't even know it. And what we need now are eyes to see. When God works in this way in our lives, it can be sudden or it can be gradual, but that's the way God's working in the world today. He's wanting to show us just how much he's done for us and how much he loves us and how much he's lavished upon us this gift of new life and the gift of forgiveness of sin and the gift of the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. He's wanting to show us those things. And so Paul prays for the Ephesians who are walking in darkness that they would have eyes to see what is really theirs because they are in Christ. I think of the three things specifically that he prays for. He prays that they would know the hope to which they're called. The hope is the glorious redemption that is brought to us in Jesus, but it's also fulfilled when he will come again. He prays that they would know that and live in the light of that. And then he prays that their eyes would be enlightened so that they may know the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints. Just how much God has lavished upon us the riches of being adopted as his children. Everything that's his becomes ours, and we are in him and he is in us. And he would wish us to know that and to live in the light of that. And then he prays that they would know the incomparable power of God, incomparable power of God to those who believe in him. We are saved by God's power and by his righteousness and not by our own. It's God's power working in us that makes that happen. And it's his power working through us that makes our ministries happen. And so what is he calling us to do today? Nothing. Really, he's calling us to do nothing. That's the good news of the gospel. It's not about what we do. It's not about anything that we can do in order to get him to love us more or to give us more or anything like that. He's asking us to do nothing. The Israelites in the wilderness were bitten by a snake. I imagine there's more than one snake for all those people, but they were bitten by snakes. They're about to die. And so God says, Moses, I want you to take some bronze and make it into a serpent, put it on a stick, and when people look at it, they'll be saved. All they had to do is look at it. Nothing else. There's nothing else they could do. But when they looked at it, they were saved. God's not asking us to do anything. But what he wants to do in us is to open the eyes of our hearts that we may know the hope to which we're called, and the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints, and the incomparable great power for us who believe. I so totally believe that that's what God is trying to do today in our lives, to open our eyes. St. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says it this way, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory in the face of Jesus Christ." We're blessed. We have everything we need And God has finished it on the cross. And now he prays, Lord, would you please open their eyes to see? You want to know what a person's like, you'll sneak up behind them and you'll listen to how they pray. It'll show you everything about what they believe about God and the scope of their prayer. And St. Paul today prays big prayers so that when we're faced with particular consequences in our life and circumstances, we'll be able to be equipped to face those well in the light of God's love. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.